Good morning, everyone. Certainly a pleasure and very much an honor to be able to stand up and preach God's Word. God supplies us with rules to follow, and man has distorted those words from the beginning of time. They've took those words and changed them up to use them like they wanted to fit their narratives and their motives. Or either abandon God completely throughout time. We've seen this numerous times. We look at how the world today is trying to take away history from us. The history of the past is what shows us what we can do and what we cannot do. And if we throw away the history of the past, then we just continue on doing the same things over and over and keep messing up. So in our world today, people, they're still distorting the word. And they're working hard to change everyone's minds, their beliefs, their thoughts. They're working hard to change scripture just to fit one's choice of lifestyle. Basically, they're worshiping false gods or false ideas is what it becomes of. And to do this, I want to tell you, it takes practice. It takes practice to sin. And my wife, when she was helping, she was typing this, she said, "Are you sure you want to say this? You want to say it like this?" It takes practice to live ungodly. I said, "Yeah, I want to say that." You have to work at it to be ungodly. Just as it takes practice to live a righteous life. You have to work at being righteous. You have to work to be good also. It doesn't just come to you and you just do it. It's not just handed to you. Sin doesn't just show up. You have to choose. You have to choose sin if you want it to be in your life over God. Or you choose God over sin in your life. Today we're going to look at some different scriptures to help us out this way. So we realize that this sin starts out slow. It may be small. And then it grows and grows and grows. And it can grow so fast that it can take over whole communities. It can take over cities. It can take over nations. This world can be corrupted and absorbed into sin while we sit here and do nothing about it. So we look at God and we say, what has God done for us? God gave us His one and only Son, as Michael read to us a while ago, to save us from a corrupt world. He didn't send His Son to condemn the world for their wrongdoings. He sent them, His Son, to the world to say, repent and come to Me. You don't have to live that way. God deserves total respect and honor from those who believe upon Him. Let's look at the book of Malachi in chapter 1, in verse 1. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If I am a father, where is the honor due to me? If I am a master, where is the respect due to me, says the Lord Almighty. This is God. He says, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If I am the father and I am the master of the world, then where is my respect and where is my honor? To honor your father, you make him proud by your words and by your deeds. To have integrity in giving back as a regard what was given to you. So we honor God by placing Jesus in our lives and walking our lives with Jesus, through Jesus, for God the Father. To respect your master, you hold high regard, and to respect and to adore them. So you look to God and you respect Him for everything that He's done, and you adore Him. You look in amazement and awe is how we look upon God. I want you to look around the globe today. I know you guys watch television, you watch the news. Look around and tell me, is it hard to see honor and respect for God? When you look around the world today, it's very difficult to see. Nations are following the same patterns that they've already tried and failed before. Today we're going to read a few of those, and we're going to see how in the past this didn't help anybody and what takes place. And we're going to look to the future to see what we can do about it and how we can benefit from mistakes in the past of others. You know, we're still looking where we see these people that are hoping for different results of past failures, continuing on doing the same thing. It's called insanity. You just keep doing the same thing over and over and over and getting the same results for it, but you're wanting something different. Maybe it's happening just through pure evil to create a corrupt society, to just make a society of evil. I don't know that. I can't tell you that. I'm not a prophet. I haven't been able to see the future. But I can tell you that we have to come together. Now, we're going to go to the book of Haggai. It's a couple back from where we're at. And we're basically in the last three or four chapters of the Old Testament is where we're at to start with today. Now, Haggai was a prophet in the 5th century. The Jews of this time had been taken into Babylon in the 6th century and held captive for about 70 years here. And King Cyrus allowed them to return to Jerusalem in the year of 538 BC. Now, the temple of God, which in Jerusalem, where they went to worship God, where they went to pray to God, where they went to sacrifice their sacrifices to God at this time in the old scripture, had been completely demolished. It's in ruin. It's just destroyed. And they've been back there for about 18 years at this time. So they've had plenty of time to start construction and be working on the temple of God, but yet they are completing stuff for their own self. They're doing things for their own self, making their own needs and wants and desires, fulfilling them before they place God. And he's showing us here how we're supposed to place God before our own needs, before ourselves. And when we place God before us, that we are actually placing our family and everyone else above also, because we're showing them that we're living through God, because God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and He is the one that has created us. He's the one that made the earth, the heavens and the earth. So by looking to Him and following His instructions and His rules, we are helping others. So we're putting everyone first by placing God first in our lives, because they're seeing God through us. It's important for us. In the book of Haggai, in verse 2, this is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say the time has not come for us yet to build the house of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains in ruin? They had taken the paneling like Solomon had in his mansions, his extravagant castles, whatever they was that you want to call them. And they had placed this in their house to make these huge, nice, beautiful homes for themselves, placing themselves at a higher statue than others. Kind of like we would say today, keeping up with the Joneses. You know, that's what we're doing. They're doing this, so we got to do this. They bought a new car, we got to buy a new car. They have a new house, we got to get a new house. That's kind of what these guys were doing. They was just placing themselves up. They was building extravagant homes for themselves, making themselves to be something that maybe they wasn't for sure. Verse 5. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but you have harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have enough to fill. You put on clothes, but you are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. Basically what the Lord is saying to him, he's saying, you've put yourself in your own wants above God. And God controls the wind, the rain, the sun. He controls all the seasons. what you will have, what you will receive. He controls everything. He said you've spent the last 18 years building and fixing your own homes to be extravagant, while my temple, where you are supposed to come and worship me and give offerings, lays in ruin. The people were searching for maybe prestige or respect from others because of their fine homes to show themselves as being above others, maybe, or better than their neighbor. You know, who knows where that was at with them. God is in control. And he's telling them, I can stop the rain. I don't have to let it rain on your crops. I don't have to let the sun shine on you. I can let the wind blow and blow everything away that you have at any time. You're not putting me where you need to be now. If you want your crops to be right and you want everything to be good for yourself, place upon what is more important, and that is God Almighty. In verse 7, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build the house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. He told them what to do, didn't he? He said, go up on the mountain, bring some wood down, and build the house of the Lord so that Russell can be honored, or so that God can be honored. So that God can be honored. He expects more from us. We need to look into that closely. We need to give careful thought to how we live, to doing what is right. We need to place ourselves and say, okay, I know this is going to take time for me today, but should I do this or should I do this? This one is being considerate to God. This one is not being considerate to God. We should be considerate to God before we're being considerate to ourselves. Everything we do should be accepting and pleasing to God. I believe Michael said it a while ago when he was saying his prayer, asked that what we did, partaking of the Lord's Supper, would be pleasing to God. So we need to give careful thought and admiration to our Lord and Savior for what He has done for us. In the book of Genesis, in chapter 19, in verse 24 and 25, the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah. He overthrew those cities, leaving them complete ruins because they was terrible. I'm just going to tell you that it got completely horrific. The entire plain and all living in the cities and all the vegetation in the land surrounding was gone, wiped away completely. In chapter 18 of Genesis, if you read through there, you can see Abraham talking to the Lord, and he's pleading with the Lord. He says, Lord, my nephew Lot lives there in Sodom and Gomorrah. He lives there. He said, if there's 50 good people in Sodom and Gomorrah, will you let it survive? The Lord said, all right, if you can find 50 righteous people there, it'll be okay. And then he goes down to 40, pleading with God. He thinks about it. Well, that place is pretty bad. It's pretty roguish. Then he goes down to 30 people. Then he goes down to 20, and then he goes down to 10 righteous people. Abraham's pleading and bargaining with the Lord. And the Lord says, all right, Abraham, if you can show me 10 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah, I will not completely destroy it. 10 righteous people. Two angels went to Sodom that the Lord had sent to see what was going on. Lot was there at the gate, and he met them. They said, we're going to stay right here in the center of town. Lot said, oh, no, 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 no. You're coming with me to my place. You think to yourself, why would Lot insist on them coming to his place? Because he knows that that is so corrupt and so horrible. He knows what's fixing to happen to these two angels. So, oh no, you can't stay here. There's no way. This is a terrible place for you. So they come to his house, and before bedtime that night, it said all the men and the young boys, old and young, in Sodom, came and said, send out the two men who came so we can have sex with them. It didn't say some of the men there and some of the young. It said all of the men and all of the old men and the young men also. And when I think of a young man, that's about 13 years old to me. 12, 13, 14, 15, and then up. Send these two angels, these men that are in your house, outside so we can have sex with them. And you tell me that this place ain't corrupt? Lot knew that that place was corrupted. He understood it. And he was looking to help them. He said, oh, y'all cannot stay outside. God said the cries from there were so bad that he had to go see for himself. So he sent two angels to see what was going on there. Psalms 9, verse 16 and 17 says, the Lord is known by his justice. The wicked are ensnared by their own hands. Y'all know what that means? We do it to ourselves. God doesn't do that to us. We do it to ourselves by not allowing God to be in our lives. The wicked return to the grave. When this refers to the grave in your scripture, it's referring to hell. That's what that's talking about, is being in hell. All the nations that forget God. The wicked return to the grave, all the nations that forget God. What he's saying is, if you forget me, I'm going to forget you. I'm going to place you in a place where I don't have to worry about you no more, where you'll be tormented for life. Not a good place to be. Sodom and Gomorrah serve as an example of those who suffered the punishment of eternal fire. Jude chapter 6, verse 7, the angels who did not keep their positions of authority but abandoned their homes, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment day. And he says then, Sodom and Gomorrah serve as an example of those who suffered the punishment of fire. These angels that left heaven to go do what they wanted to do serve as an example of eternal fire. They're getting to serve in the grave of death. God doesn't show favoritism toward anyone. You either follow him or you don't. You're either with God or you're without God. It's your decision, not my decision. And God doesn't say you have to do this right now and you have to follow me completely, or I'm going to kill you here today. He doesn't say that. He says, I'm going to give you time. He's patient with us. He allows us to do it on our own time. He allows us to grow up and to learn the Scripture. He allows us to hear the Scripture, to hear the Word, and decide for ourselves, do I want to be with God or do I want to place evil in my life? Some people choose one side. Some people choose a different side. Some people go one way. Some people go another. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, God did not spare angels when they sinned, but he sent them to hell, putting them into gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment. This is how you know God does not show favoritism. He is righteous in his judgment. He allows us to make the choice for ourselves. How much time do we have? Do we know how much time we have? We don't, do we? I'm pretty sure that God is going to come when he decides and sees fit. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. God is righteous. Jesus is righteous. We are supposed to be righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. This is how we know that we are through with that. How can you tell if someone's a child of God? They're done away with all of that stuff that they was doing in the past. They've left it aside and said, I want to live anew with you. I'm going to change my values. I'm going to change my ways of thinking. I'm going to change the things that I do. The person that I once was is gone, and there's going to be a new person here. I am going to be different because I have you in my life. Ask yourself, after reading that scripture, are you a true child of God? Am I a servant of God? Am I doing God's will? Turn with me, please, to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1 in verse 12. James says, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. I go back to the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. The angel said, "Come with me now, Lot. Get your two daughters and your wife and come with me and get out of the city. Don't turn around and look, because if you do, you'll be gone. You're not allowed to look at it. That place is filthy. It's disgusting. It's full of sin. It has nothing for you. Look ahead," is what he's telling us. So when we become children of God, we are to look ahead to what is new. Not all the stupid, ignorant, sinful things we did when we was younger. We're looking ahead to see what we can do to be different. And that's the reason why he said, don't look back. Lot's wife looked back and she became a pillar of salt. She wasn't truly focused on God. She didn't have God in her heart. She wanted to look back and say, oh, look at all the stuff we had. It's all gone. It's Lot and his two daughters left and they were saved. Lot was the only righteous person that was there in Sodom. That was a man. He had two young daughters that was with him and they made it out of there. And that was it. Everything else was laid bare. God blessed Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah as the only righteous man. I want you to think about Lot being the only righteous man in Sodom and Gomorrah, and I want you to think about him, how he must have been tormented day and night from the filth of the immorality of everybody that was there, living with God, being a godly man, a righteous man. Can you imagine that, how he was there when the whole cities was this way? Not 10 people could be saved from there. God judged him as righteous, didn't he? He said here, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." So obviously Lot loved God. And he said, okay, I'm going to take you out of that place. He judged him as righteous at that point. And he persevered through all of the sin and all the gloom and all the torment that he was going through because he kept God close to him. He didn't tell God, "Leave me. I'm going to go ahead and follow everybody else is." See, there's one person that didn't. And one person is big by doing that. Everybody else lost everything. And they have eternity in the fiery dungeons of hell. Go with me to 2 Peter right quick. Hold your finger there in James because we're going to go back to James. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6. "If he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment while continuing their punishment. This is especially true to those who follow the corrupt desire of the sinful nature and despise authority." You see, God is authority. God is our master. He's our savior. He's our giver. He has allowed us to be here on this earth. Without God, we wouldn't be here. He made the heavens and the earth. He made everything that's here. Without him, there is nothing. We have no chance. He's telling us here a very important lesson. He said Lot was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men. He was a righteous man living among them day after day. He was tormented in his soul. Deep down, he was hurting because of what he was seeing. So he was living his life through God, correct? And when we see that, you are tormented if you are living for God, and that's how God is. He's tormented by seeing His people treat Him the way that they do. That is very disrespectful and is showing no honor at all to God. Zero. Oh, I just think about what he had to see and what took place there the whole time he was there, and then knowing that he was leaving and all he had left was his two daughters. And his wife was gone because she couldn't keep her eyes focused and look ahead to see what was before him. Go back to James chapter 1 and verse 13. Know this, that when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He tempt anyone. Lot was approached day after day. But because Lot kept the word, kept God close to him, kept the Lord with him, he couldn't be tempted. You see what we just read here? If you have God in your life, you can't be tempted because you are a part of God. But when you allow God to be away from you, from your own sinful desires and your own needs, by pushing Him away, you can be tempted. And that's how sin and temptation gets into us. That's how desire moves in and it takes a hold and then it becomes sin. Lot was approached day after day and he achieved something spectacular because he persevered. And it shows that perseverance pays off. So keep fighting, keep working for it is what he's telling us. Christ Jesus is in you. So sin cannot overtake you, nor do you cause anyone to sin if you are a Christian and you have Jesus Christ in your life? The only way sin can overtake you is if you leave Jesus. If you push Jesus away. If you tell God, I don't want you to be a part of me right now. That's when it can come into you. Verse 14. Each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. It's by our own evil desires that this takes place. We have to push God away in order to make this happen. Remember, I told you it. My wife said, you sure you want me to put this way? That you have to work to be evil? You have to work to be bad, just like you have to work to be good. You have to work at it. You have to put effort into it. Each one of you is tempted when by his own evil desires he is dragged away and enticed. Now, when you push God away, you're opening a door. You're giving a foothold to the devil to say, come on in. I'm giving you an opening. I just left a void inside of me of God that was there. And I'm going to allow you to fill that void with whatever you want to fill it with. That's what we're doing when we do our evil desires. Verse 15, then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. That death is the same thing that we looked at earlier when we said to the grave, that death is hell. That's what it leads to. It leads us to total destruction. We can't allow ourselves. So by pushing God away and leaving the place that He had in us empty, we open avenues for sin and desires to entice us. And then that sin that gets in us, it spreads to others. And before our eyes, not even 10 righteous people can be found. You think that might be what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? It doesn't take but one to come over and start working at it and telling people, that's wrong. What you was believing in God, start believing in this. And then two or three of them do it, and before you know it, you're overtaken like the world is today. Go back to 2 Peter for me, to chapter 3 for a minute. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So, just reading that verse 9, we look at it and we see the slowness that He's talking, but the Lord is not slow in keeping His promise. We think everything ought to happen right now. It's supposed to happen today or yesterday. We got to get it done. God is waiting. And He is watching. He's saying, I'm giving you guys all of the time that I possibly can to come to repentance. But how much time do we actually have? Do we have all the time we need? We think, oh, well, I'm young now. I got 50 more years. I can do what I want to do. I don't have to do anything right now. We've got all the time in the world to come to repentance. Now, read verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. We don't know when it's going to be over for us, do we? We don't know when our lives are finished here on this earth. We don't know what's going to take place when we walk out these doors in a minute. We do know that God is patient with us, and He doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants everyone to repent. He doesn't demand that we repent and say, He doesn't come to us and say, this is me making you do this. He wants us to do it freely of our own free will. He wants us to do it because we want to do it, because we realize that it is the right thing to do. He is the only one we should follow. You see, He doesn't want us to perish, but He wants us to repent. And we don't know when Jesus will come back. We don't know the time, we don't know the hour, and we don't know the day. And He's telling us that we better be prepared to accept the decisions that we make in our lives when He does come back and this happens. Are we ready? If it happened today, would you be ready? Would you be willing to say, it's okay, I'm good. I haven't done anything wrong. I'm living just like I'm supposed to right now in this moment. In that moment, we better be correct with God. Go with me to 2 Thessalonians, please. 2 Thessalonians in chapter 1. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 in verse 8. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of His power. God's love for us is so great, yet we are willing to throw it all away because we are afraid to stand up or afraid to hurt someone's feelings, when ultimately we can be shut out from the presence of our Lord and Savior. Now you tell me, is that honor or is that dishonor? Is that respect or is that disrespect? What we've read from Haggai, how the Jews were disrespecting and dishonoring God. How we read from all of them in Sodom and Gomorrah. Total lack of respect for our Lord and Savior. Total lack of respect in Sodom and Gomorrah. Are we living the same way in the same world today? With that total lack of respect? Or is there 10 amongst us? Is there 50 amongst us? How many can say, I am doing what I'm supposed to do? Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now this is not telling you that you just live in a shack and be happy with that. That you don't have to love your family. You don't have to love your mom or your dad because they're not following this. You don't have to love this guy over here because he's doing something off that you wouldn't do. No. Do not love the things that are going on in the world. You love the people of the world. You continue to love. You love the person, you hate the sin. That's what he's saying here. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. You see, we have to focus on God to allow Him to be part of us, living for and with Him always. And I say always, so we can't slip away just because we want to go do this today, knowing it's wrong, but we're going to go do it, slip away and say that it's okay today, but you know I won't do it again tomorrow. No, we have to be able to say no to ungodliness. We have to be able to say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to live that way because I follow God. Remember Lot? If Lot was able to overcome all that was going on in that corrupt city and be credited as the only righteous man, and his two daughters lived with him, and he said that they was both virgins, they had never been touched by a man, how he kept those two girls. He must have kept them in that house and not let them go outside. Or he watched them like a hawk to make sure that they was okay. But that's what the scripture says. There was three people that came out of that great city. And I'm telling you, more can do it if we work together and if we honor God and respect Him. Now, when we focus on God and allow Him to be part of us, living for Him, through Him, this is respecting and honoring God, isn't it? 2 Corinthians 5:10 says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That means everybody's going to have to appear before Him. Everybody's going to be judged. That each one will receive what is due to him for the things done while in the body. So while you're here on earth, you are going to receive judgment for the things that you've done here. Whether they was good or whether they was bad, you will be judged for that. Ephesians 5:15-18 says, be careful then. It says, not just careful, but he says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most out of every opportunity, because the days are evil. The days were evil then, and the days are evil now. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. He says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. The passage tells us to stand up for Christ. Do not remain silent. Make sure that our void is filled with Christ and not the devil's evil desires. 1 John 5:5 says, who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes Jesus is God's Son. How can we overcome the world? What's the first thing that you have to do? Believe that Jesus is God's Son. I want to tell you, Jesus said this himself in Mark 16:15-16. He said, after he had died and he had been resurrected and he come back, he said, go into all the world, preach the good news to all creation. He said, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. The condemnation is the second death that we have. It's a fiery furnace of death. The good is heaven. Glenn said, you going to preach to us about heaven today? I said, I'm going to preach to you about hell too. First, we're going to talk about hell, and then we're going to talk about heaven. What's the only way to get to heaven? Jesus said it himself. He told them, he said, you guys are my apostles. You go into the world, you preach the good news to all creation. And whoever believes it and is baptized into my death, burial, and resurrection will be saved. But the one who disrespects me, who dishonors me, that don't want to receive the word, that one will be condemned. We see through the scriptures, as we look to history and we go backwards, how forgetting God or not believing in Him at all leads to destruction. It leads to hell. It leads to the fiery destruction of our souls. We see that God cannot be tempted, right? By evil. So we realize that if we live for God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that we cannot be tempted either. Have you ever thought of that? That you can't be tempted if you have Jesus with you? Because God can't be tempted. You're only tempted when you push Him away from you. We need to remember that. We need to stick that right up here and keep it right here in our hearts so that we have it with us all the time and we don't allow ourselves to be taken away. It's not enough to just believe. We have to live with Him also. And we learned that through baptism, we died with Him and we was resurrected with Him through that baptism. And we no longer live for ourselves, but we live for Him. If we don't, we're being dishonorable and we're being disrespected, disrespectful to Him. His great and precious promise, the sacrifice of Christ Jesus, deserves far more than what we give Him. We can no longer sit quietly and let the world take over. We're in a terrible time right now. We must tell others the good news, and we must tell them boldly and proudly. We must be proud of Jesus Christ in order to do that. We must stand firm in what we believe and what we know so that we do not become like Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at Colossians. And then we'll close out. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. I think this is a real good scripture for us to close with. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 through 17. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. What does rule mean? Be in control of you, right? So let Christ be in control of your heart. Allow your heart to lead you to where you need to be at. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Lot, living in this despair where he was at, thankful every day that he had his family, he had his daughters to God. Had to have been. No matter where we're at or what's going on in our lives, how terrible it is, we have to be thankful to God that He gave us this day, that He allowed us to be here. He allowed us to have the time with loved ones that He's allowed us to have, and that He's going to give us a home so that we have a chance to see them again someday. We have a chance to sit beside God Almighty and look upon Him and say, "Wow, you're amazing. Wow, how did you do it? How was you able to look down upon all that and not just tear up and cry? How did you continue on when everyone was against you all the time?" Be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Not just barely in you, but richly. As you teach and admonish one another. What are we supposed to do? Sit quietly and allow all of the bad in the world to take over? No. We're supposed to teach and admonish one another, showing the goodness of Jesus Christ through our actions, through our lives, through the way we live, with wisdom. That means you have to read and study, and you have to follow the Word. Don't just look at it and say, "I heard that one time," but live it. Actually do it, what it says. As you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God, He says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Living your life through Jesus Christ's death for God, to be a part of Him. It is amazing that He allowed His Son to come to this earth. Michael said it. He said it was John 3:16. For God gave His one and only Son to come into the world to save sinners. And verse 17 says, He sent Him not to condemn the world, but to save the world through His death and His burial and His resurrection. I had one more. Let me find it right here. We talked about this in class. I said I'd close out with that, but I'm going to read this one piece right here that Olivia learned this morning in class. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. And then you go up to verse 4. This is in Psalms 23. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You see, we looked at Lot and we seen how terrible things were for him. But even though he walked through the valley of the shadow of death, I just don't know how. I couldn't even imagine when they said what they said at his door. All the men and the young men also were at his door and said, send them out. We're going to have sex with these men. When I read that, it blowed my mind. It's hard to comprehend that something can be that destructive and get that bad off. We have to understand that the Lord is our shepherd, and we shall not be in want. No matter where we're at and what we're facing, times are not too tough for us because He's going to be with us. We may die and we may perish while we're here on earth, but we have a home with Him in heaven. And we need to always look forward to that day of His coming and speed its coming, because we do not know when it's going to take place. So as we think about our lives in today, are we in Christ? Are we living like we should? Are we willing to stand up for Jesus Christ like we should? Are we going to stand up for Jesus Christ like we need to? Are we going to honor and respect Him as we do our own fathers here in this world? If you have a need, if you don't know Jesus in this way, please come forward as we stand and sing the song that Glenn has chosen for us.